Appendix C. The Work of the Madison School. Ellen G. White, 1908. In the work being done at the training school for home and foreign missionary teachers in Madison, Tennessee, and in the small schools established by the teachers who have gone forth from Madison, we have an illustration of a way in which the message should be carried. I would say to the workers there, continue to learn of Christ. Do not be daunted. Be free in the Lord, be free. Much acceptable work has been done in Madison. The Lord says to you, go forward. Your school is to be an example of how Bible study, general education, physical education, and sanitarium work may be combined in many smaller schools that shall be established in simplicity in many places in the southern states. My brethren in responsible places, mourn not over the work that is being done at Madison to train workers to go forth into the highways and the hedges. It is the will of God that this work should be done. Let us cease to criticize the servants of God and humble our own hearts before the Lord. Let us strengthen this company to continue the good work in which they are engaged and labor to encourage others to do a similar work. Then the light of truth will be carried in a simple and effective way, and a great work will be accomplished for the Master in a short time. When the Lord favors any of His servants with worldly advantages, it is that they may use those advantages for the benefit of the work. As laborers together with God, men are to keep constantly in mind the need of giving the message of Christ's soon coming to the people who have not been warned. In this we are not left to human intelligence alone, for angels of God are waiting to encourage us in a life of patience and self-denial. We are to learn to be content with simple food and clothing, that we may save much to be invested in the work of the gospel. The gospel of Christ calls for entire consecration. The Christian sower is to go forth to sow, but many by their fretting and contentions are disqualifying themselves for labor. Their sluggish senses do not discern how feeble are their efforts and how strong is their unbelief. Let our church members now arise to their responsibilities and privileges. Let them spend less on self-indulgence and needless adorning. The money thus expended is the Lord's and is needed to do a sacred work in His cause. Educate the children to do missionary work and to bring their offerings to God. Let us awake to our need of denying self. Let us awake to a sense of the spiritual character of the work in which we profess to be engaged. I have said only a little in comparison with what might be said on this subject, but I call on our ministers, our teachers, and our physicians to awake out of sleep and see the opportunities for work that are within our reach, but which for years have been allowed to pass unimproved. Our lack of self-denial, our refusal to see the necessities of the cause at this time, and to respond to them, call for repentance and humiliation of heart before God. It is a sin for one who knows the truth of God to fold his hands and transfer his duty to another. It is a sin for any to criticize and find fault with those who in their manner of working do not exactly meet their mind. Let none blame or censor the men who have labored at Madison. In the place of complaining at your brother's work, take up your own neglected work. Instead of picking flaws in your brother's character, search your own heart, confess your sins, and act honestly with God. Let there be condemnation of self for the work that lies undone all about you. Instead of placing impediments in the way of those who are trying to accomplish something in the South, let our eyes be open to see that time is passing and that there is much for you to do. The Lord works through various agencies. If there are those who desire to step into new fields and take up new lines of labor, encourage them to do so. Seventh-day Adventists are doing a great and good work. Let no man's hand be raised to hinder his brother. Those who have had experience in the work of God should be encouraged to follow the guidance and counsel of the Lord. Do not worry lest some means shall go direct to those who are trying to do missionary work in a quiet and effective way. All the means is not to be handled by one agency or organization. There is much business to be done conscientiously for the cause of God. Help is to be sought from every possible source. There are men who can do the work of securing means for the cause, and when these are acting conscientiously and in harmony with the counsels of their fellow laborers in the field which they represent, the hand of restraint is not to be laid upon them. They are surely laborers together with him who gave his life for the salvation of souls. Brethren Sutherland and McGann should be encouraged to solicit means for the support of their work. It is the privilege of these brethren to receive gifts from any of our people whom the Lord impresses to help. They should have means, God's means, with which to work. The Madison enterprise has been crippled in the past, but now it must go forward. If this work had been regarded in the right light and had been given the help it needed, we should long ere this have had a prosperous work at Madison. Our people are to be encouraged to give of their means to this work, which is preparing students in a sensible and credible way to go forth into neglected fields to proclaim the soon coming of Christ. The Lord directed brethren Sutherland and McGann as men of sound principles to establish a work in the South. They have devised and planned and sacrificed in order to carry forward the work on right lines, but the work has been greatly delayed. The Lord guided his servants in the selection of the farm at Madison, and he desires that it be managed on right lines, that others, learning from the workers there, might take up a similar work and conduct it in a like manner. Brethren Sutherland and McGann are chosen of God and faithful, and the Lord of Heaven says of them, "I have a special work for these men to do at Madison, a work of educating and training young men and women for mission fields." The Spirit of the Lord will be with his workers if they will walk humbly before him. He had not bound about and restricted the labors of these self-denying, self-sacrificing men. To those in our conferences who have felt that they had authority to forbid the gathering of means in certain territory, I now say, this matter has been presented to me again and again. I now bear my testimony in the name of the Lord to those whom it concerns. Wherever you are, withhold your forbiddings. The work of God is not to be thus trammeled. God is being faithfully served by these men whom you have been watching and criticizing. They fear and honor the Lord. They are laborers together with him. God forbids you to put any yokes on the necks of his servants. It is the privilege of these workers to accept gifts or loans that they may invest them to help in doing an important work that greatly needs to be done. This wonderful burden of responsibility, which some suppose God has placed upon them with their official position, has never been laid upon them. If men were standing free on the high platform of truth, they would never accept the responsibility to frame rules and regulations that hinder and cramp God's chosen laborers in their work for the training of missionaries. When they learn the lesson that all ye are brethren, and realize that their fellow workers may know just as well as they how to use in the wisest way the talents and capabilities entrusted to them, they will remove the yokes that are now binding their brethren, and will give them credit and a desire to labor unselfishly to promote the interests of the cause.